The world we live in is in a mess. It's in a big mess. And the condition of the world is going to affect the mind of a child of God if and only if we allow it to do that. So what are we going to do? I want to start with this lesson and then the next several lessons to kind of set the stage for some lessons for next year. And I'll explain that a little more as I go along today, this evening, and next Sunday. But please open your Bibles to Esther, the book of Esther, and we are going to look at some things from that book that will hopefully help us keep in mind some things that we need to be doing for this coming year. There are several verses that I want to keep coming back to, and it's hard to think that we are at our last Sunday of this year already. This year has gone so fast. But several verses I want us to keep in mind as we go into the new year. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11. You hear so much doom and gloom going on today, but God has a plan for us. He has a plan for each one of us. When did that plan start? Well, when we go to Psalm 139:13, for thou didst form my inward parts, thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. God had a plan for us from the beginning. And when we get to the book of Esther, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I want us to consider the idea that we were born for this time. Every person, whenever they were born, God does not do anything by chance or by accident. We may not like the things that are going on in the world, but there is a reason that we are here at this time. And with Esther, we are going to see there is a reason she was where she was for that time. We all have a job to do for God. Romans 15:4 says, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And again, I see so many people today that are losing hope, but we need to go back to 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. We should not be fearful, but we should be confident. When we look at the book of Esther, we see God's care for his people. We see God uses ordinary people to do his work. We see that nothing, no one can stop God's plan. And we see coincidences in Esther that are the fingerprints of God's hand at work. God had to be in control of what took place. We see the providence of God. In Esther, beginning in chapter 4 and verse 13, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days or 3 nights. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went with his way, and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Notice the phrase in verse 16. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I will perish. Friends, that's the attitude that we as Christians need to have today. We need to do what is right, even if it costs us our life. And what if we lose our life? If we lose our life, what is ahead is so much better for us. The only way that we can get to heaven is by either death or by Christ returning. If we are a child of God, we should not fear death at all. Yet so many people live in fear of death every day. The time of Esther, as I said at the beginning, we live in a world that is really messed up. It was no different back then. It was a time when there is little or no respect for life. It was a time when a king would have a person killed for desiring to see him. In chapter 4, you back up to verse 11. All the king's servants and people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may have life. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So if you wanted to go and see the king and he hadn't called you, if he didn't hold out his scepter, you are gone. You are done. There is no sanctity of life. And we see that today. On this slide, when I was looking for slides for this, there were a lot of them that were so disgusting. This one poster, these girls say parasites don't have rights. They're calling a child a parasite. That's the world that we live in. And we'll see in Esther also the hatred of one man for the Jewish people. And he didn't want to just kill this one person. He wanted to annihilate all the Jews. There is no regard for life. In Esther chapter 3, we go back to chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, when Haman saw Mordecai did not bow to pay him homage. Haman was filled with wrath, but he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. Now, when we see this man Haman in chapter 3, and in chapter 3 and verse 1, I'm not going to try to pronounce the name of his father, but the name of his father, and you see another word that looks a little hard to pronounce, but if you look at that, it's like Agagite. And you think about that, and who do you think of? Agag. And who was Agag? You go back to 1 Samuel 15, and Agag was king of the Amalekites. And what was Saul told to do? He was told to go and utterly destroy the whole nation, destroy all the Amalekites, all the cattle, all the children, everything. Did Saul obey God? This is a side point, but we see Saul obeyed God to the point that he wanted to. And that's the problem with so many people today. He didn't completely obey God. He spared the king, King Agag. So this Haman, he is a descendant of King Agag, who there was this hatred between him and the Jewish people. And he didn't want to just kill Mordecai because Mordecai would not bow and give him homage. Haman was filled with wrath, and he wanted to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. But friends, that's no different today. There are powerful people that think nothing of wanting to kill millions of people. They think nothing of it. There's no respect for life. That's the time it was back then. That's the time it is today. What other sort of time was it? It was a time of pleasure. We read in Esther 1:8, in accordance with the law, the drinking was not compulsory, for so the king had ordered all the officers of his household that they should do according to each man's pleasure. Whatever you want to do, that's fine. You want to do a little, you want to do a lot, that's fine. Do whatever you want to. It's no different today. America is wrapped up in so much pleasure. Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. We live in a very pleasure-oriented society. You see commercial after commercial aimed at giving you pleasure. So we've got to ask ourselves, do we care more for God or do we care more for pleasure? We need to think, what have we taught our children? To care more for God or for pleasure, and our grandchildren? Because it's easy to get sucked up in the world that is just so in love with pleasure. And as we have seen throughout history, pleasure is one of the things that has brought a lot of mighty nations and empires down. Well, what sort of time was it then? It's the same as now. It was a time of divorce for any cause. In Esther chapter 1, beginning at verse 17, for the queen's behavior will become known to all women, so that they will despise their husbands in their eyes when they report. King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, but she did not come. This very day, the noble ladies of Persia and Media will say to all the king's officials that they have heard of the behavior of the queen. Thus, there will be excessive contempt and wrath. If it pleases the king, let a royal decree go out from him and let it be recorded in the law of Persians and Medes, so that it will not be altered, that Vashti shall not come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal position to another who is better than she. When you read through the book of Esther, and several places it'll mention so many eunuchs here and there, a number of them, to have that many eunuchs as are mentioned in Esther, he would have had a large harem. He would have had many wives. He had one queen, but again, she was queen at his pleasure. And Ahasuerus, there had been this event going on for about a year. Verse 4 of chapter 1, when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the splendor of his excellent majesty for many days, 180 days in all. And when these days were completed, the king made a feast lasting 7 days for all the people who were present in Shushan, the citadel, from great to small, in the king's court, in the garden of the king's palace. A very, very fancy affair with these princes and nobles from all over, and this party that had been going on for 7 days. And he wants his wife, he wants his queen to come in. And she had enough morals about her to know that she was a beautiful woman. She had enough morals about her to know that she should not come in and parade before these drunken men that had been engaging in all kinds of alcoholic beverages for the week. So what's he going to do? I'll get rid of her. Because he was advised, you know, if you let your wife get away with that, then all the women are going to say, I don't have to do what my husband says to do. Just get rid of her. We'll make it official. will write a decree. It is sad. And with this slide, you see with divorce, it splits everything in half. And God did not intend it to be that way. He intended one man, one woman. What kind of time was it then? What kind of time is it now? It was a time of strong drink. Chapter 1, verse 10, on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, and he commanded, and here it lists seven eunuchs who served in the presence of King Ahasuerus, to bring Queen Vashti before the king, wearing her royal crown, in order to show her beauty to the people and the officials, for she was a beautiful to behold. And again, notice, when the heart of the king was merry with wine. Again, this was a huge drinking party that had gone on. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Those three words, drunkenness, revelries, and drinking parties, they have the idea of each one of those is a little more and stronger and more extended than one before that. It basically is covering all types of drinking. And that's the time, that's the situation of the world back then. Again, is it any different today? It's no different. Sad to say, it's no different today. And you think about all the people that have a drinking problem. I imagine the majority of us here know someone that has a drinking problem, and it affects so many people. In verse 7, they serve drinks in golden vessels, each vessel being different from the other, with royal wine in abundance according to the generosity of the king. Well, what were the times like then? What are they like now? It was a time of immodesty. Again, Queen Vashti did not want to go out and be paraded in front of these men. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 2, 14 through 15, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, they have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Again, you see pleasure leading to bringing down a nation. You see the demise of the family. That will bring down a nation. What time was it? What time is it now? This next slide is not quite exactly what we read about in Esther, but I think we can all relate to this. It was a time of pride. Pride is promoted so much. And what is pride? It's thinking something that you're not. It's thinking more of yourself. It's thinking you're better, you're different. And again, this illustrates the point that our country has come to, where there are marches to celebrate this type of pride. But back to Esther chapter 3 and verse 5, when Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay him homage, Haman was filled with wrath. He disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him of the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. Haman was a proud man. I'm going to get even with that old King Saul. I'm going to kill all the Jews. They're no good. He was full of pride. Esther 5:14, his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, let him make a gallows 50 cubits high in the morning and suggest to the king that Mordecai be hanged on it. Then go merrily with the king to the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, so that he made the gallows. Haman had so much pride when he wanted to get rid of Mordecai, he had this thought: we're going to make a gallows 50 feet high, and when we go and see the king at this banquet, we will have Mordecai put to death. How do you get an attitude like that? We learn from Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these things come from within and defile a man. And you see, friends, back then, today, no matter what kind of mess the world is in, as I said, it's going to affect us if and only if we allow our minds to dwell on those things. It's what's within the heart that comes out. But not only was there all of this bad going on in the world, but it was also a time of providence, where when Esther did what she did, and she went before the king, and she didn't care if she was going to die. She didn't care. And she ended up saving the Jewish nation, because to back up, if you aren't familiar with the story, Mordecai had heard several of the king's men talking about a plan to do away with Ahasuerus. They were going to cause him harm. And that was written in the book of Chronicles, not 1st and 2nd Chronicles, but the Persian Chronicles, the record book of things that were going on. Well, one night when King Ahasuerus couldn't go to sleep, he said, go get me the book of Chronicles. And he was reading through that. And he said, this man Mordecai, what have we done for him? Well, nothing. And he was going to reward this man. And Esther knew that Haman wanted to kill all of the Jews. And Esther had to tell the king, or else, again, the Jewish nation would have been wiped out. What did she focus on? She focused not on all this bad stuff that was going on. It was the providential hand of God that through all of these bad situations and twists and turns that the Jewish people were saved. It was the hand of God. It was a time of providence. We know the story of Abraham and Isaac in Genesis 22. And when Abraham was about to offer up Isaac in verse 13, Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its thorns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Friends, no matter what we face next year, no matter what trials, no matter what problems, God is going to provide for us. But we have to be willing to do what we need to do to serve God. And you go back, I did a one of the lessons I did this year was on the temptations of Jesus and why was Jesus tempted. One of the reasons that Jesus was tempted, one of the reasons that we are tempted today, God wants to develop people that will obey him anywhere, anytime, every time. Anywhere, everywhere, anytime, everywhere. He wants us to obey him completely, no matter what's going on out there in the world. Is that easy to do? It depends on where you put your focus. You put your focus on God and the reward in heaven, it's going to be a whole lot easier than if you're looking at everybody around you. And if you think, well, what if I lose my life? Well, what if you lose your life? What if you lose your life? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and I want us to look at a list of people that we're faced with decisions to make. Because again, you and I are faced with decisions every day. And the decisions we make are going to impact somebody else. They're going to impact our husband, our wife, our family, our children, our co-workers, our neighbors. Everything we do is going to impact somebody. In Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 32, "And what more shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves on the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Friend, you think about Esther, you think about her attitude, "If I die, I die." You look at these people and everything that they went to stand for God. And then, I don't even like to mention it after reading this list, but then I hear people say something like, "Well, I would have come to services, but I just didn't feel good. You know, the weather might turn and it might get cold, or this might happen, that might happen. You know, I'll do something when I feel better, and when this happens and when that changes." And we think that God is going to be happy with that? Do we think he's going to be pleased with that? I would hate to say something like that and on the day of judgment be standing behind Esther and remember the words that she said, "If I die, I die." I would hate to be standing behind one of these people in Hebrews chapter 11 that gave their life for Christ. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Friends, I want us to think about running that race next year with confidence and hope and with joy and happiness. We need to ask ourselves, are we ready to do what God wants us to do in 2022, next year? What's that going to be? Well, we know the basics of what he wants us to do. He wants us to let our light shine, to be the light and salt of the earth. He wants us to influence others. He's given us his word to share with others. And you think about Esther. Why didn't God intervene and send an angel down and stop the plan of Haman to kill all the Jews? Because that's something God wants his people to do that. Why doesn't God send an army of angels down today or this or that and do something to change everything in the world? That's what we are. We are to be the ones that change the world. And how do we do that? It's one person at a time. We don't try to overthrow governments. Our kingdom is not of this world. Ours is a spiritual kingdom. Again, we got, like we talked about in class this morning, we got to get people to realize that they are lost. And once we get them to realize that they are lost, we got to get them to realize they can't save themselves. And the only hope that they are going to have in this life is to be right with God so that they can be right in the next life. That's what we've got to do. And if you aren't at that point this morning, that's where you need to start this morning. If your life is not right, you need to make it right. Don't put it off. Don't wait till later. Somebody will say, well, it's hard to do that, and there's just so many things that come along. Friend, what's the alternative? You want to just give up and resign yourself to eternal destruction and not even put up a fight? John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Friends, that's us, you and me, back to where we started. God has a plan for us, a plan for hope and for good things. He's had that plan for us. Don't get distracted. Don't focus on the things of the world. That's where Satan wants to do that. And he'll get you if you willingly go along. Friends, if you're not a Christian this morning, we beg you to realize the condition that you're in and do what you know you need to do. If you are a Christian and you aren't living right, please make your life right this morning. If we can assist anybody, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.